beginning of Parashas Vayigash, there's a problem. Let's look at the last few psukim in Parashas Miketz and see the difficulty. Right at the end of Miketz, the pasuk says, this is Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Tes, Ashe Yimsa Itzoim Avidech of Ameis, V'gam Anachnu Nehye La'adoyni Lavodim. Whoever has the cup should die, and the rest of us should be Avodim. So again, the first offer is, before they've searched, that the person who has it is going to die, everybody else Avodim. Then they find it by Binyamin. They're brought before Yosef. V'ayoymi Yehuda. Ma'anoymi La'adoyni, ma'anadaber. All of a sudden, Yehuda's a switch. Not the one who has it is going to die, and everybody else Avodim. He changes it. We're all Avodim. Everybody is an Eved. Then, there's another switch. Then, Yosef is more makel. Instead of saying that everybody is an Eved, comes like Yosef at the beginning of this week's parasha, and he says, at the end of last week's parasha, and Yosef says, why should I do this? Whoever has the cup should be an Eved, and all of you can return back to your father. So you would think that the brothers should be very happy with this. You're running very late. So the pasuk begins with, first they say that everybody's going to be an Eved. The one who has it should die. Then they say everybody should be an Eved. Yosef comes as more makel and said, only the one with the cup. You would think you would be happy. What happens at the beginning of this week's parasha? Vayigashel of Yehuda. Yehuda comes to attack, he's going to make a mechoma, he's going to destroy Mitzrayim. What's going on over here? Yosef was going even easier than he wanted. The Sefer Nachlis Yaakov in the Sivas, he explains like this. That Yehuda and the brothers had the koyach to destroy, to kill the Mitzrayim. Just like they destroyed Shechem, they could destroy Mitzrayim also. But that depends. They were Yefashish by myself. Do we deserve? Did we do anything wrong? So, they understood, yeah, we've done a chet. If we've done a chet, we have to pay for it. What was the chet we did? Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef is the chet. So if Mechiras Yosef is the chet, what's going to happen? The ones who were the instigators, Shimon or Levi, they're going to find the cup by then. And then, they're the ones who sold Yosef. So Agoinef Ishim Chori, somebody sells a person, Mois Yumos. So it'll be Shimon or Levi that'll find the cup. They're going to die. And everybody else, we were involved also, would all be Avodim. So we understood as Mechiras Yosef. Then the cup was found by Binyamin. Oh, can't be Mechiras Yosef. Binyamin wasn't involved. So what must it be? They knew there's going to be a Shibud. Klal Yisrael going into Mitzrayim for a Shibud. Oh, so then we'll all be Avodim. Comes along Yosef, says, no, you're not all going to go Avodim. I only were the one who had the cup by him. So Mechiras Yosef, it can't be, because it's Binyamin. Also the Shibud, then it should all go into Avdus. It's only Binyamin alone. It's not Shibud Mitzrayim, and it's not Mechiras Yosef. It's just this guy starting up with us. He's starting up with us. He's going to fight. Well, it's not going to let him. The Pasuk says, Mem Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Ki eich el el ovi, how can I go up to my father? Vahinar enenu iti, and the boy is not with me. And I think the Kotzko explains that every person has to say this, especially in the days of your youth, that one day you're going to have to stand in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom for a din Torah after 120, and a person should think to themselves, Eich el el ovi, how am I going to go up to my father? Vahanar, and the days of my youth, einenu iti, are not with me. I messed up, I wasted the days of my youth. You're going to have to answer for that before the Rebbeinu Shalom. You see, the Yehuda is begging Yosef and telling Yosef that you have to let Binyamin go. Lo yuchal hana lazav is oviv. Va'ozav is oviv ameis. And he keeps crying about the tzar of Yaakov, have Rachmanis, send Binyamin back home. Why doesn't he mention, we see later on in this week's parasha, for those of you who learned the Chumash this week already, that Binyamin had 10 children. So why doesn't he say, if Binyamin doesn't go back home, there's going to be 10 Yesoimim? 10 Yesoimim crying for Binyamin. That he doesn't mention. All he mentions is, Yaakov is going to be crying. He doesn't mention the children. And the answer, sadly enough, is that because as much that a father's caring for his children is 100 times more, and many times more, than a children's caring for the father. Yeah, the Yesoimim, they'll get over it. But a father sees his son disappearing, that's a lot worse. That he never gets over. Parents get over their father. How many times I hear from parents, Charles in camp, Charles Wayne Yeshiva, you know, he never calls. How come he never calls? I never heard of a boy saying, you know, my father never calls me. Father didn't call, Baruch Hashem, he didn't bother me at all. That's how they look at it. It doesn't work the same way, the relationship between the parents and children. Perek Mem He, Pasuk He. That Yosef says to his brothers, Va'ata now, al teyotzu. Don't be upset. Va'al yichar beinechem. Don't get angry. Ki mecharta moisi. The fact that he sold me. Ki lemich yoshlachani lekim lefneichem. Hashem sent me before you to feed, to support the land, to support people. That is in Pasuk Hey. You look in Pasuk Ches, and it seems to repeat the same thing. Va'ato lo yatem shlachtem oiseheino. You didn't send me. Hina lekim, Hashem sent me. So why does he repeat it in Pasuk Hey and again in Pasuk Ches? Says Iksav Sofer that the brothers were very brokenhearted. They looked and felt they had done a terrible chet. They had sold Yosef. Yosef wanted to comfort them. He said to them, it cannot be what you did was rishus completely. Because if it would have been rishus, there's no such thing as doing a rishus, and in the end that saves you and helps you. The fact that you see that your survival is dependent on me, being here in Mitzrayim, ki lemich yoshlachani, I'm now saving you and the world from famine. Obviously at the time, there was a cheshbon in what you were doing. It wasn't totally wrong. So therefore he tells them, al teyos, don't be upset. A raya that you weren't, it wasn't a rishus, ki lemich yoshlachani. But now Yosef had a problem. What happens when you tell somebody, you know what you did is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you, lemich, it was a good thing, and I'm only a melech because of you. What are the brothers going to start thinking? What do we do now? We're great guys. You owe us HaKaras HaToiv. You've only got this because of us. You have to be thankful, Yitzi, to us. Now, they're going to look for HaKaras HaToiv from Yosef. So he has to explain to them in the next pasuk, Va'ata now, recognize now. Now you have to recognize, Loi atem shelachtem oisi heino. It's not you who sent me, kelekim. My HaKaras HaToiv has to be through Ribbono Shel Toiv lohoides l'Hashem. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to have HaKaras HaToiv, not to you. This reminds me of an interesting maisa that took place. There was a very old lady who was about to have surgery. And she was on the table, and before the surgeon came in, they were preparing her for surgery. And she says, before the surgery begins, I would like to speak to the surgeon. So they said, the surgeon is not coming in now. You'll speak to him after the operation, you can't talk to him now. And she nudged and nudged, she was very old, they felt bad. So they finally told the surgeon she wants to speak to you. He was very upset about it, but he had no choice, he came in. So she says to the surgeon, I want you to know that this is very delicate surgery what you're doing. You should know that if anything goes wrong, I won't have any tainus on you at all. It's not you messing up if anything happens. Is that's the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I accept it. You have to worry. There'll be no suing, no anything. I know it's not in your hands, so I don't want you to have to be nervous and worried at all about it. And the doctor was very impressed. And he thanked her. I appreciate that you told me that. He'd never been told that before surgery. Everybody's thinking anything goes wrong, we'll sue. And he went back. 5 minutes later, she tells him, I'd like to speak to the doctor. So Again, they tried to convince her not. They went to the doctor. This time he was quite curious to see what she had to say after the last time. He came back. He says, no problem. He wants to hear what she has to say. He comes back to her. And the lady says, I want you to know, doctor, that what you're doing, this surgery, is very skillful surgery. It's not easy surgery to do. I want you to know, if the surgery is successful, it's not you, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. You have to realize that as well. And if it's successful, it's also the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the doctor left. This chokhmah she did it with, she wanted to tell this to the doctor beforehand. You want to have success, and you think, it's me. That doesn't, you've got to realize it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. She wanted the doctor to know that. But to say that, the doctor will get angry. And so she did in this chokhmatic way. Yosef is doing the same thing over here. He's telling his brothers, the Milas, and he's telling them, but the Milas, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam as well. He tells them both sides of the story. There's another interesting Saf Sofer. Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Aleph. That says, V'lo yochel Yosef lis'apik. Yosef couldn't hold himself back. So he said, Oitziu chol Ishmael, I take everybody out of here. And he revealed himself to his brothers. Vayinashik, then says he kissed all his brothers. Vayinashik l'cholechov, he kissed his brothers. So it's not a pasuk aleph, pasuk tesvav. Pasuk tesvav. Vayinashik l'cholechov, he kissed all his brothers. Vayef galeim, he cried over them. Va'achrechein dibru echov itoy. After that, his brother spoke with him. The Medrash says over here, just like Yosef was Mephias his brothers, he calmed them and comforted them. It says, Keshem shloi pais Yosef loch ele b'b'chia, only with cries. So too, when we Klai Yisrael get redeemed and we go back to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be b'b'chia. We're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael also with cries. Dechsev, Poskin Yirmiyahu says, b'b'chia yavoyu. We'll come back to Eretz Yisrael with tears, crying. What does this mean? Yosef was revealed to his brothers with tears, and therefore also going to be redeemed with tears. What's the comparison? So he explains that Klal Yisrael have been in Golus so long, we have no clue what it means, a Beis Hamikdash. We haven't got a clue what it means, Kedusha. There's a Maisa I once saw, the Rav Gifter went after 1967, after the Six-Day War, he went to visit Eretz Yisrael for the first to visit the Mekom HaKadoshim for the first time after they captured the Mekom HaKadoshim. And this person took him to Kever Rochel, and he took him to the Kosel. And he asked him afterwards when they were at home, which one were you more inspired by? Which one had a bigger effect on you? So he said, the Kosel. So he said, it's interesting, because he finds most people answer Kever Rochel. So Rav Gifter said, it's very simple why. Everybody says Kever Rochel because everybody can relate to a mama crying for her children. And that, they're emotional, relate to that. He says, they can't relate to a Beis Hamikdash, to Kedusha. He says, but I lived before the war. I saw yeshiva, what it meant in Europe. I saw the Hasmoda, the Kedusha, an Edel, a Rosh Hashanah. I saw what it was, and I saw after the Churban what yeshiva is. Two different worlds. I know what Kedusha is. And therefore, when I saw that change from before the war to after the war, I can understand the back then when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the tragedy we lost a Beis HaMikdash. It reminded me, and I could understand and relate to it, and that's why I was very emotional about the Kosel. We don't realize it at all. We can't relate to it. But when the Beis HaMikdash is built again, we'll go back to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll see then and have an understanding. We'll be crying. What will we be crying about? We'll be crying about what we lost all the years when Golus. We'll realize what we thought was Yiddishkeit was so superficial, so much was missing, and we'll be crying on the loss that we had. When Yosef met up with his brothers, Yosef saw the Shiftei Kor, G'doy Le'olam he saw. And he started thinking to himself, he called his son Menashe, K'neshani Alekim es Beis Ovi, that HaKadosh Baruch made me forget my father's house. He realized that he had been here in this Mitzrayim over here. And he realized that, imagine if he would have been back there in the yeshiva with them, with the Shiftei Kor, with these Gedolim among them, among those Gedolim, learning with them, being with his father for the last 22 years. And he realized now that loss that he had suffered, how much more in Yiddishkeit he could have grown. And that is why he was crying when he saw that. This is very similar to a story I once heard from an Auschwitz survivor told me that the night before he had supper with somebody who they'd both been through Auschwitz together. And they were discussing over a steak supper, reminiscing about when they were in Auschwitz together, they had a piece of hard black bread, stale bread, a small piece, a minimal size piece, and they were discussing there in Auschwitz, one day they're going to get out of here. One day they're going to be liberated, and then they're really going to enjoy themselves. They're really going to eat. And their dream was, we're going to have a whole loaf of fresh bread to eat. That was their dream in life. They didn't dream of anything more than that. They couldn't relate to anything more than that. He told me one time, he told me after they were liberated, they went into the town of Auschwitz. The goyim fled because they knew what they were in for. They'd been involved in what was going on there. And the houses were empty. The first thing they needed was clothing. So he went into a house, which was empty, to get himself some clothes to wear instead of those, what he wore in the concentration camp clothing. So he found a suit, and he got dressed, he put it on. And then he was there with his friend, and then he went into another house, and he found a suit that was better, fit him better, and he changed into the other suit. And his friend asked him when he came out, "I see you got a different suit, where's the first suit?" And all of a sudden it hit him that he could have taken the other suit with him. He needs more than one pair of clothing, but it didn't cross his mind. He didn't think there's such a thing as having two suits. That was beyond his comprehension, the idea of having more than one suit. And then he realized it then. You know, when you're in a matzav, you get so used to the matzav, you don't realize how much more is out there. We don't realize this person in Auschwitz, what was he looking for? He was looking for a loaf of bread. We think there'll be a base migdash, there'll be kedusha, it'll be wonderful. We haven't got a clue. It's so distant to us. We say in Tehillim, Keili, Keili, Loma Zavtoni. Loma Zavtoni, why did you leave me? Rochik Yishuasi Divrei Shagosi. Distant is my salvation, is the words of my cries. I'm crying how distant it is that the Yeshua is going to come. But I heard a pshat like this in the Pasuk. Rochik Yishuasi, how distant the salvation is going to be, whatever I think it's going to be. Rochik Yishuasi, it's going to be much, so much more than I expect, so much better than that. Divrei Shagosi, then the words of my cries. I can't even appreciate how good it's going to be. So when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk in Riyot says, Bebchi Gavoyu, we'll cry when we come in there. When we see him, we'll understand how much we'll be missing. Shabbos. Again,